information is free.
The law.
There is hope.
When ignorance is converted into knowledge.
Tonight, we care.
Appear to border
and it shows.
The law.
The country.
You will remember nothing you have seen or heard here.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not cooperate, it made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.
You can pull the trigger or you can build an ark. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 198 of Media Monarchy. It's December 10th, 2010. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. This week, Dr. Assange Love, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love WikiLeaks. Problem, reaction, solution, police state updates in the DHS PSAs, super notes, and funny money, plus a Noah's Ark news purge with controversy and a keen sword. And we'll wrap it up with something for the boys with the Unabomber and something for the girls with a Barbie. All that, so much more. December 10th, 2010, episode 198 of MediaMonarchy.com.
Cyborg, Android. Wisdom, tightrope, vision, insight, stronghold, heartless, ice cold, mystery, mastery,
solar,
battery.
Some will pull the gun because they want to be stars, snatching up your life into the blink of an eye. And if you see your clone on the street walking by, keep it running for your life because only one will survive. Wars on the streets and it's an eye for an eye. Run on for your life or you can just you can die. She's praying on the sand like she's the last samurai. It's a stick up, then the pick up, telling lies and telling lies and put your face on fire. Run and take your friends and never dream, never win. Ghettos keep a crying to the street full of zombies. Kids are killing kids and then the kids join the army. Rising in the waking, they say, here come the signs. Marching to the ruin with the kick of the drum. The wisest in the end, they got the bombs and the guns. So you might as well keep dancing if you're not gonna run.
Tick-tock, then the bodies drop. I'm gonna lay myself so far right down right in your chops. Modern day example of a wolf or a sloth. Freedom necessary and is by any means. Frozen they were stolen all the kings and the queens. Sudanese the Congolese who put the roll in the rock. From here to Sudan, my travel is to Iraq. It's a minute till the dawn and yet the sun ain't back. It's a war on all the streets and yes the streets will dance to die.
Thank you.
Janelle Monáe with Saul Williams, Dance or Die. That's from her amazing record, The Ark Android. We played a track from her several months ago on this show, and it won't be the last time you'll hear from her this year in the Media Monarchy Kingdom. But welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the 198th episode of Media Monarchy. It's December 10th, 2010. My name's James Evan Pilato, your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. And that's just scratching the surface. We are, of course, coming live to you, as always, every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific time on the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org. And, of course, huge thanks to all the great affiliates who help spread the word about Media Monarchy. ZeroPointRadio.com, blasting it worldwide as well right now in Casper, Wyoming on 92.3 FM and 1670 AM. The worldwide home of free speech, RevereRadio.net, Free Radio Olympia, Berkeley Liberation Radio, One Sky Radio, Ground Zero Radio, Patriot Radio, KBOO.info, Radio23.org, all that and so much more. You can make contact, facebook.com/MediaMonarchy, and the rest, MySpace, Twitter, YouTube, Ustream, Blip, Podomatic, and we'll say hello to some of the new folks we may have picked up from MediaMonarchy.Podomatic.com. Connected up with the fine folks at TragedyAndHope.com. You can get t-shirts at CafePress.com/MediaMonarchy. You can send news tips and make contact, mediamonarchy@gmail.com. We're on Skype, Instant Messenger, iTunes, RadioForAll.net, Archive.org, all that, so much more. If you find this valuable, if you find independent, non-commercial, non-corporate alternative media valuable and edutaining, if you will, hit the donate button. Your support helps keep alternative media going, paying for those pesky things like domain names and Skype credit and DJ dues and new headphones or God knows what. So a huge thanks to our recent donors. Nate G and Sam P both have donated before. So we'll use that again as the call for folks who maybe haven't donated before. So it's not just a small group of folks doing the lion's share. And as long as we're on the topic, we want to note, we are finally down to just a few discs left of the exclusive DVD from TragedyAndHope.com. Richard Grove and Paul Verge made 2020 Hindsight Censorship on the Front Line more important now than it was earlier in the year when we started to release it to you. If you donate at least $10 to Media Monarchy, you get that exclusive DVD, as well as anything else I can cram into the envelope, such as issues of RockCreekFreePress.com, and a huge thanks to those guys. My man Jeff Long over there sends them cross country. Post office always looks at him a little funny when he writes Washington, D.C. as the return address. But we're almost out of DVDs. And again, huge thanks to those folks. And once they're gone, they're gone. But coming up next, and I'll tell you more about it when I learn more about it, we're going to help distribute the new DVD video archive coming soon from CorbettReport.com. Will be the West Coast, Western Hemisphere distribution arm, if you will. So many things going on. More exciting news. Something huge. And I almost want to say that I've had more action in the Media Monarchy Kingdom this last week than I've had in a long time. And a huge thanks goes out to all of you guys who help spread this around. It's not easy to do this. I suppose the ultimate compliment for things is that, oh, it looks easy. But it is mentally and emotionally draining to do all of this. So the kind words and the support go a long damn way to keeping me motivated and activated before we get radio activated. So there's something huge I'd love to tell you, but let's wait till we've actually done it. But it will be the biggest coverage Media Monarchy has received, and it's going to be awesome. So the huge amount of emails that have been coming in, the massive amounts of contact that has been made, it's now reaching the point where there's no way I can respond to all of it. And again, a huge thanks. Don't get mad. Just keep sending me news tips, and we'll work it out. So, massive episode this week. As we already ran down, we're going to get into Dr. Assange Love, or how I learned to stop worrying and love WikiLeaks. Next week, we're going to have Tracy Twyman in studio to discuss the alchemy of money. And I've got a link up at the top of MediaMonarchy.com so you can do a little homework ahead of time. That way, when you come to next week's episode, you'll have done your homework. We're going to take that following week off. That'll be Christmas Eve. I deserve Christmas Eve off. Come on. However, there'll be a little something under your podcast tree on Christmas. Don't you worry. And then we're going to come back on New Year's Eve with a massive 200th episode of Media Monarchy. We again are going to have, I believe, a special guest in studio. And as we take inspiration from all the other fantastic alternative media outlets that we're proud enough to be associated with in any way, that's how we're going to roll with number 200. That's all I'll say. So, I mentioned almost running out of 2020 Hindsight DVDs. Coming soon, the Corbett DVDs. I mentioned the episodes, mentioned Christmas Eve off. Next week, Tracy Twyman. Next week, massive exposure coming soon for MediaMonarchy.com. You're going to love it. And I believe that gets us up to date, my friends. As I look over all of my notes, let's glance at Google News and see what's breaking. The most important thing in the world right now, the top of Google News, jury reaches verdict in Elizabeth Smart case. Yes, my friends, that's it. Obama predicts tax bill passage and possible changes, and of course all the controversy around China and the Nobel Peace Prize, and all the other various loaves of bread and three-ring circuses. But we'll keep an eye on the breaking news just to see if and when things happen. And I'm sure we'll have to check back in as we try and flesh out some of our stories that are our main stories on this episode 198, just to try and get it all together. We're also in the chat room, I should mention, on ZeroPointRadio.com. And again, huge thanks to them. Simulcasting it on the web as well, AM and FM. That puts them right at the top of the heap of helping syndicate MediaMonarchy.com. So again, huge thanks to those guys. Ah, yes. And now we're there. We have a main posting to cover the ever-evolving WikiLeaks PSYOP. And I'm glad folks got a kick out of my stumbling over my speech last week and saying Licky Weeks. If I can amuse and entertain, then ba-bam. Wait, amuse and entertain? No, that's not what I want to do. I want to amuse and educate. Let's get our game face on. WikiLeaks being used to justify an Internet Patriot Act. On this post, we take it from an article from activistpost.com, and I won't go into this one because it's the article we go into on the latest episode of NewWorldNextWeek.com, my weekly video series with James Corbett. So we won't go into that text again because I've already read it onto the record. It's in video form. But we have massive updates, massive related links, and again, doing our own sort of data dump, if you will. Getting things squared away that lays out a path for you. I'm no expert, really, on any of these topics. Just trying to pay attention. Like the guy that went on Press Your Luck in the 80s. and had memorized the patterns of the board to avoid the whammies. That's a fascinating story that I'm digressing about, but it shows ultimately that when they paid him off, because they had to, because there's no rule against paying attention. Let's try and flesh out the WikiLeaks PSYOP with an article on oilprice.com written by Claude Salhani. WikiLeaks, state secrets or clever tactics? Is the U.S. government Machiavellian enough to orchestrate the recent brouhaha over the so-called WikiLeaks website? Is this a real embarrassment, or will it indeed be damaging, as some U.S. diplomats claim? I'm not one to support conspiracy theories, but when you stop to analyze the content of the information that was leaked, it seems that two things emerge. First, the content of the cables were not so earth-shattering as to damage national security or harm Washington's relations with other countries. Second, upon further analysis, it would appear that the information revealed instead sends a strong message to America's foes. Much of what has been released in those cables is hardly news in any real sense of the word. Take, for example, the report that the U.S. has been spying on its friends as well as on its foes, and that Hillary ordered diplomats to assemble info on their foreign counterparts. Let's get real. Friends have been spying on friends ever since man has been involved in conflict. Which is to say, for quite some time. I believe also as a sidebar, we've noted that Hillary's claiming that Secretary of State is her last public job. But continuing, espionage between nations, both friendly and less so, can probably be traced back to the time when the first group of cavemen realized they could use clubs as weapons. Again, referring to Arthur C. Clarke in 2001. All intelligence services will, as a matter of fact, gather information on whoever and whatever they can. This is what intelligence services do. The trick is to not get caught. Did Israel not spy on the United States, its staunchest ally, and without whom Israel would have a hard time sustaining itself? The most infamous of American spying for Israel is a former U.S. Navy civilian named Jonathan Pollard, who passed classified information to Israel. Pollard is now serving a life sentence for treason. While Pollard may have become the focal point of the U.S.-Israeli espionage dossier, other incidents have gone largely unnoticed. One report, aired by Fox News, states that, quote, according to a U.S. intelligence agency, the government of Israel conducts the most aggressive espionage operation against the U.S. of any U.S. ally. Indeed, since 2001 9/11 terror attacks on New York and Washington, more than 60 Israelis have been arrested or detained under the new Patriot Act for immigration violations. Among them were active duty officers in the Israeli army. All theatrics of embarrassment by the U.S. Department of State aside, the release of such information accomplishes a dual purpose. Many countries in the Middle East are more concerned about Iran's nuclear program than they have publicly admitted. The information contained in one cable states that King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia has asked the United States a number of times to cut the head of the snake when talking about Iran and its nuclear program. Other Arab leaders from Jordan, Qatar, and the UAE had similar concerns. First, these cables demonstrate to Iran that its Arab neighbors are extremely concerned with the Islamic Republic's nuclear program, and second, it forces the Arab countries in question to perhaps take a more transparent stand vis-a-vis Iran. This information hardly places the security of the United States in jeopardy. As for the embarrassment that the State Department will have to deal with for insulting foreign leaders, once again, no great state secrets were revealed. And we get into, of course, Berlusconi likes to party and Sarkozy's thin skin and yada yada. The question here is who leaked the info and what do they stand to gain from it? If the cables were leaked by the U.S. government, was it to prove that the U.S. is not the only one to adopt double standards when it comes to Middle East politics? The alternative would indeed be an embarrassment. Again, that's a piece from oilprice.com. And we'll run down just part one of what we have posted up under WikiLeaks being used to justify an Internet Patriot Act. And again, we'll just try and elucidate what that title means. And we can do it by extrapolating it to any other questions that we ask. Even if you believe the official story, of 9/11, it still traces back to our creation of Al-Qaeda. And they say, we fight you because you invade our lands. Even if you believe in man-made global warming, what will paying carbon indulgences to the Rothschilds and others do? And even if you believe that WikiLeaks is what it's being portrayed as, a muckraking organization for the 21st century with its media darling front, it's going to be used to crack down on the web. So the one part I will quote out again that I read into the record on the most recent NewWorldNextWeek.com, we'll still have the internet, just like we can still fly. You'll just have to be on the approved list, screened, stamped, zapped, mugged, and molested if you want to get on the net. But let's go down our related WikiLeaks updates, part one. 21stCenturyWire.com has corrupted Oracle or COINTELPRO asset of the establishment. And then we have the aforementioned OilPrice.com article, State Secrets or Clever Tactics. But then some of the updates and the ups and downs and ins and outs of the WikiLeaks PSYOP from the Globe and Mail. WikiLeaks faces cyber attacks, lost PayPal account for donations. Operation Payback then crippled MasterCard.com in revenge for the WikiLeaks ban. More on that from Guardian, as well as Threat Level. The Daily Beast reporting on the supposed forthcoming Wall Street bombshells. DarkGovernment.com reporting on cables referring to UFOs expected. MSNBC also reporting. WikiLeaks chief says expect UFO talk in future files. Something in the documents from the Telegraph. U.S. identifies key sites around the world for security. Europeans accused of paranoia over fears of U.S. economic espionage, documents reveal. That's from Tom Burkhardt on Anti-Fascist Calling. Interesting note out of Australia from tvnz.co.nz. Australia says U.S., not WikiLeaks founder, responsible for leaks. Alternet.org reporting on the nine weirdest things about the WikiLeaks story. ChrisFloyd.com getting into the Dr. Assange Love arrest as a chilling sign of power's new realities. Threat Level again reporting on the quote-unquote chaos at WikiLeaks that followed Assange's arrest. And the last bit on part one is the question. Was Assange set up by a CIA operative? And we'll throw in our own question here. Does it take one to know one? WikiLeaks founder was arrested over, admittedly, spurious rape claims made by militant feminists who worked for a group funded by the U.S. government. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange's arrest over the dubious rape and molestation claims of two Swedish women is likely a political stunt after it was revealed that one of the women has connections to the CIA and is a militant feminist who published a guide on how to get revenge on men and make them suffer.
Tim, first of all, these rape charges, what more do we know about them?
Well, quite a lot, some of which we can say and some of which we can't. And for viewers at home, this might be something of an adult conversation. You follow my drift. This happened allegedly on August the 15th of this year in Sweden. Mr. Assange admits he had consensual sex with two women over 15th and the 17th of August. 2 days after that, they both went to the police station and claimed one rape and one sexual molestation. He denies absolutely these charges. It is interesting, as a bit of background, the first woman involved is a known radical feminist in Sweden, and she is known to have a theory that men dominate their social positions through sex. And she's also been known to write on the internet a blog called Seven Steps to Legal Revenge. Now, that's perhaps by the by. If it happened, it happened, and if it didn't, it didn't. But that is actually contextual for reasons I'll come on to in a moment about a British magistrate. A warrant was eventually put out. The police threw out the case, first of all, and eventually put out a warrant. Now, it's an EAW, a European Arrest Warrant. Now, that means that the British police, once they receive it, have a duty to interview the individual concerned and, crucially, to hand him over to a magistrate. It's not just a case of them just talking to him. Now, there may be some wiggle room, and maybe the Metropolitan Police might decide there is some wiggle room and they just want to talk to Mr. Assange. But the Home Office says that under the rules of the EAW, they're under a jurisdiction to hand him to a magistrate. Now, the reason I put all the preamble in about the background to the case is because just because he goes to a magistrate about whether he will be sent to Sweden, it doesn't mean the magistrate will automatically agree. And the magistrate might want to look at all the evidence that there is, including why the original case was thrown out, almost laughed out by the prosecutor. And he or she can make a decision on whether they agree there is enough evidence on to send this man to Sweden, not to extradite him. It's going to be called an extradition, but legally it's not. And the Home Secretary does not have to sign
Tim,
up on it, which I think she's quite relieved.
Tim, I just want to say it's very material to what we're discussing. We are just hearing breaking news that Julian Assange has been arrested and will appear at Westminster Magistrates Court later today. Julian Assange, we repeat, has been formally arrested and will make an appearance, as Tim was saying, he's suspected at Magistrates Court later on today. OK, we've got that established then, Tim. Now, what happens if he does end up back in Sweden?
Well, this is why I put all the preamble in. OK, yes, it is a moot point about whether he will be arraigned in front of a magistrate who agrees that there is enough evidence. Now, if there is enough evidence, and it's very important to remember, he has not been charged with anything. He's only wanted to be interviewed as a witness. So the magistrate might decide, well, I'm quite happy for the Swedish police to come over here and talk to him if they wish to, and his lawyers have said that's absolutely fine with them, but I'm not going to actually send him over there when he hasn't even been charged. These are simply allegations, and he's wanted as a witness, not as necessarily a suspect yet. Okay, taking your question that if he was sent or surrendered, to use I think the legal term, to Sweden, at that point the Swedish police then interview him and they make their own minds up whether there's enough evidence through their own CPS, Crown Prosecution Service, whether to go to trial or not. Then the legal course takes its course. He would or wouldn't be tried for whatever the charges were against him. But then we bring in the complication of the Americans. And it's important to remember that none of this at the moment is anything to do with WikiLeaks and what he's put out there, but the Americans want him for something different.
And that would be espionage. And we'll get to that in just a moment. So that was a clip from Sky News, and that ties in our first little bit of CIA connections into this case. So we'll dive into related WikiLeaks updates part two with an interesting one from beforeitsnews.com. Fenton Dunn put together a little spread of photos with Julian Assange as Dr. Strangelove. And some of the photos, yes, they've been photoshopped, but sometimes just to be in the same photo, there's a striking similarity between Julian Assange and some of the characters played by the late, great Peter Sellers in the fantastic Dr. Strangelove. However, more importantly, but we, of course, have to make those notes. It is media monarchy. We pay attention to the memes and the signs and the symbols. An article from ABC News dated December 8th. The arrest and detention of Julian Assange Tuesday on charges of rape and sexual assault was at least a convenient development for government leaders who've sought ways to contain the leader of the controversial website. But in an exclusive interview with ABC News' Jim Sciutto, WikiLeaks spokesman Kristen Franson insisted Assange's arrest won't alter the site's calculated release of thousands of secret government cables, which still continues, according to plan. It is not derailing us in any way, said Hrafson, that's a difficult name, adding that a group of 5 to 6 people is running the WikiLeaks operations in Assange's absence. Quote, this is a turning tide and starting a trend that you can't really stop unless you want to shut down the internet. Aha. Now we're getting to the possible crux of the matter that, again, regardless of whether Assange is what he seems or if he's being used as some type of intel cutout that is being fed bad information that they think is good, a la Bob Woodward and the entire morass of Watergate and the layers of the onion there. But we get to the crux of the matter of saying, you want to stop us, you're going to have to shut down the web. That ties in to the problem, reaction, solution, agenda. That's the Hegelian dialectic. We'll get more into that, but let's blast through the rest of the related WikiLeaks updates. Key lawmakers, that would mean demons like Lieberman, who, as we've noted time and time again, would like our internet to be like China's internet. He has said that. Key lawmakers up pressure on WikiLeaks and defend the banksters at MasterCard and Visa. We have more from ArsTechnica.com on Visa, then under attack from anonymous and payment processors as WikiLeaks war escalates. Washington Post reporting, WikiLeaks avoids shutdown as supporters worldwide go on the offensive. Dutch arrest teen for pro-WikiLeaks attack on Visa and MasterCard. Independent.co.uk reporting that Assange could face espionage trial in the U.S. Kurt Nemo has an article on the Assange prosecution, a brazen effort to kill alternative media. Again, regardless of whether this is live or Memorex, it's legit or co-opted, state secrets or controlled asset, the demonization of the web and an I Patriot Act will be the result. If we don't incite a revelation. The remaining WikiLeaks updates part two. Colleen Rowley notes, and now Raw Story has picked up on it, however, we reported it to you a few weeks ago when she wrote the op-ed in the LA Times, WikiLeaks and 9/11. What if, had WikiLeaks existed, 9/11 and the Iraq War could have been prevented? So claims 9/11 FBI whistleblower Colleen Rowley. Coming from the Houston Press, and again, I don't want to entirely pee on the parade here. And we're going to get into perhaps this cult of personality and this need for the left to believe and be emotionally attached to this WikiLeaks story. As all our other false messiahs betray us, as they have done and will continue to do as long as we believe it. There are good things that have come out of this, things that only further bolster stories we've already known and have already reported about. Others much longer and louder than I have, but at least for the 5 years of MediaMonarchy.com, it's right here. Texas company helped pimp little boys to stoned Afghan cops. Once again, DynCorp, once again, human trafficking, once again, sex slaves. And once again, we'll remind you to go to YouTube and type in McKinney Grills Rumsfeld. But we'll close out all of these updates with a bit from Webster Tarpley, who I think does a great job at breaking down the geopolitical scene from a historical standpoint. And just be warned, there will be some Alex Jones in this clip, but I think you can handle it. WikiLeaks targets the CIA enemies list with the new document dump.
Okay, first of all, Assange, think MK Ultra. This guy, as far as I can see, is a product of MK Ultra. In other words, he's a zombie, an operative created by a sex brainwashing psychopharmaca LSD cult in the neighborhood of Melbourne, Australia, back in the 1970s.
That's right? Actually come out, yeah.
Yeah, it's the Anne Hamilton Byrne cult. And one of his parents was involved in the cult. He seems to have grown up in the periphery of the cult. Very interesting aspect is that the children in the cult were all adopted by this guru of LSD and fornication among children, Anne Hamilton Byrne. She gave them all her own name, and she dyed their hair blonde. Notice that when Assange came on the scene, he was a blonde. He's no longer blonde. He's letting the roots grow out. Now he's becoming a brunette. I think it was the idea that the blonde hair called a lot of attention to the fact that he was something strange about the guy, and indeed, I think there's a lot strange. So you then see him as part of a hacker community, and he hacks into National Aeronautics and Space Administration. Now, why target them? I mean, what do they do that's so bad? He writes a book in which he appears as Mendax, Latin word for liar. So he's an operative. I think he's a psychotic. I think he's a zombie. And now he is the media darling of the world. Notice that we have a consortium. We have the New York Times. We have the London Guardian. We have El País. We have, I think, Le Monde and Forbes magazine. He is now the darling of the Anglo-American media establishment. He's the new star, the new Ellsberg.
Continuing, Webster, there's a lot of other connections from Assange to, of course, the people that are all around Soros and Soros himself. But I've noticed that first they claim these sexual deviancies with women. And it's funny that before that even came out, you were talking about the sex cult connection, which I've seen blurbed in the media. So that's not just coming from you. And then now they're chasing him. But that seems to add to the gravitas that what Assange is saying is real and accurate and valuable and some type of big catch for us. Now we know that there for 3 days has been this Interpol warrant out for him, but now the British won't enforce it, so the plot thickens.
Yeah, look, you know, if the CIA wanted to shut him up, what could they do? What have they done repeatedly? They would organize a rendition. They did it with the imam on the streets of Milan. They've done it with dozens of people in all NATO countries of Europe. You get a CIA team. They go in there. They grab you. They beat you over the head. They drug you. They take you to the nearest NATO base. They put you on a plane. You wake up in Egypt or Morocco or Poland or Romania or one of the black sites. This is still being done under Obama.
Or in a shipping container that internationally is a trade zone of one of those countries.
Absolutely.
You might be here at the Austin airport, but it's Romanian territory.
The other thing they do is, of course, they can arrange an automobile accident. They can arrange some kind of a heart attack. They can arrange a health emergency. If they had really been interested in shutting him up, there would have been many ways to do it. And indeed, one of the things that stands out, one of the flaws of the whole design of the operation so far, is the impotence and the fecklessness of everything they try to do to stop him. They say, please stop, or we might prosecute you. Well, this is ridiculous, right? They could round him up and his people. You can go to Iceland, right? It's Reykjavik is a very small place.
And now they're trying to pass legislation to restrict free speech in the U.S.
Yeah. That's really important because this guy, see, all the left liberals swoon for this character, right? Left liberals never had very many heroes. Their hero was Obama. Obama betrayed them. Now, that's clear to everybody. Now they're looking for a new hero. So along comes Assange, the zombie from MKUltra. And sure enough, all the left liberals are, you know, they're lining up to support him. Oh, no, he shouldn't be indicted.
Now, Tarpley, are you sure he's bad? I mean, couldn't he just be a useful idiot they're using?
No, I don't think so. First of all, because of the pattern we've seen so far, everything he puts out is more or less according to the CIA wish list. And now, as you say, we have this interview in Forbes magazine, right? Forbes magazine, which is, you know, this is the reactionaries of finance capital. And he says, we have a new document dump coming up, which will not be military. It's a mega leak. And it's going to be about a U.S. bank, one that still exists. Is it the biggest U.S. bank? No comment, and it's going to happen early next year.
We already had Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan come in and gobble up Bear Stearns and others.
Yeah, well, I think the target for this, it sounds like the Forbes guy is trying to say, is it the Bank of America or is it Citibank? Bank of America is probably the biggest right now. You take a look at their stock chart, it's just down, 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 down. Bank of America is in very parlous straits, right? Very, very unstable. Maybe this is the way to push them into a panic. And, of course, you know that Soros and all of his hedge funds will have shorted the Bank of America stocks and bonds and everything else. They will have basically made a whole series of bets on credit default swaps and derivatives and other things to profit big time for what Assange is going to do. The other thing I think we have to remember is we were told what this would be. Cass Sunstein wrote that essay saying we have to provide for the cognitive disruption of the 9/11 truth movement.
Webster, leave it there.
And we leave it there. But that brings up so many important points about the multi-layered look of this, of what we're calling the WikiLeaks PSYOP. So again, folks, very soon, and this ties into the exciting news that's coming very soon from MediaMonarchy.com, we're going to get more into the WikiLeaks PSYOP very soon, and we're going to flesh out some of these early years, lost years, CIA, LSD, MK Ultra connections that are real. Truth is stranger than fiction, my friends. We want to thank, huge thanks, to BrassCheckTV.com. They do a daily video. You can subscribe. Go to BrassCheckTV.com, put in your email. You'll get an email from them each day that'll send you a video that's related to the news of the day. It's not always their uploads. They just point to a YouTube clip that helps illuminate what's going on. A couple of days ago, they posted up WikiLeaks, brought to you by the CIA. These guys nailed it back in July, and they show the episode from the New World next week. WikiLeaks plus mainstream media hype equals question mark, and that video went viral. That has more viewers than the original Corbett Report upload. So again, huge thanks to all the places help spreading the word about Media Monarchy, about NewWorldNextWeek.com, and about our independent analysis of what's going on the world stage, the shell game, if you will. This story's gotten lots of comments, and again, it's been a big week for MediaMonarchy.com, and again, a huge thanks to all the folks. We give the flashback to the original story from the previous week that we covered. WikiLeaks unveils secret State Department cables, a.k.a. Cablegate. But we'll wrap it up by re-referencing the top of the article, WikiLeaks being used to justify an Internet Patriot Act, pointing out that this storyline, conforming nicely to the elite's Hegelian dialectic, problem, reaction, solution, with the solution of more tyranny for our safety.
This financial center, along with places like Wall Street, where the bloodline families interlock again, the same people run America as run Britain, as run Germany, etc., they have funded many, many times both sides in wars. And ironically and sickeningly, behind me, opposite the Bank of England, in the center of this square, is a memorial to those who died in the two world wars. Let's just going to have a look at that. What happens in terms of creating wars is a technique, a mind manipulation technique, that I call in my books problem, reaction, solution. And it works like this. If you want to introduce something, say, centralization of power through the United Nations, centralization of power militarily with NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, the biggest military organization in the world that's expanding all the time. If you want to centralize power into fewer and fewer hands, if you did that openly and said, this is what we want to do, there'd be a reaction against that. People would say, hey, this is a fascist state you want to create. We're not having this. But through this technique of problem, reaction, solution, you can actually manipulate people to demand you do what you want to do anyway. So it works like this. First of all, you create the problem, but you get someone else to be blamed for it. You then report that problem through the media in the way you want it reported, because the media is owned by the same people that own the banks, and etc. You get the public to react to your problem by saying, something must be done, this can't go on, what are they going to do about it? And at that point, they, who have covertly created the problem and blame someone else, who glean that reaction of do something, then offer the solution to the problems they have created.
If you tell the people they have an external enemy, they'll follow you anywhere.
Problem, reaction, solution. That was the one and only David Icke helping to flesh out the Hegelian dialectic, and just a little bit of a musical break for you to help the medicine go down. And that's where we're going to have to leave the WikiLeaks psyop for this week, my friends. But as I say, big news coming soon, a greater in-depth dive down the rabbit hole, if you will, into WikiLeaks coming very soon. keep an eye peeled on MediaMonarchy.com for that big announcement coming next week. Now, having said all that, let's move to our second big story, and this would also be the second story we cover on the latest episode of NewWorldNextWeek.com. Scheme to create a run on the global banking system fails. Taking it from Deutsche Welle, ex-soccer star Eric Cantona's plan for the people to withdraw all their money from the banks have failed. By the time French banks closed this past Tuesday, few followed his call. Tens of thousands of people heard the call by former French footballer Eric Cantona to bring down the banking system that sparked the global economic crisis, but few acted on it. The protests were few, isolated, and largely symbolic. One group of activists in Paris emptied their bank accounts from a branch of Société Générale and opened accounts at the nearby branch of a cooperative bank. But in general, it was business as usual in France's banking institutions. Cantona, now a successful actor and an icon to many, had appealed to people to withdraw their money from the banks in an attempt to punish the corrupt criminal banking system. The 3 million people in the street, they go to the bank, withdraw their money, and the banks collapse. That's a real threat. There's a real revolution. Quote, Eric Cantona. Now, we do have one related econo-crash note to this. Banksters and gangsters congratulate Obama on the glorious occasion of his NAFTA-style Korean trade deal. More on that from FireDogLake.com. But what relates to this story, and what we get into on the latest NewWorldNextWeek.com, is killing J.P. Morgan with silver bullets. On December 11th, that would be tomorrow. So let's hop over just to Google News right now and see what comes up when we Google silver. Oh, let's get more specific. Let's Google silver J.P. Morgan. J.P. Morgan Chase accused of silver price manipulation. Small cap investor asking, can you crush an investment bank by buying this metal? And on and on. What does this mean? We reported it to you several weeks ago. Folks like Max Kaiser and some of the folks at ZeroHedge.com and others, they maybe just popularized it. Other folks confirmed it. And again, so many folks want to nitpick about all these little things that, again, I'll be the first to tell you, I'm not going to get it all exactly right. I'm learning and fleshing this out just as you are. So don't be an ass, and I won't be either. And again, don't take my word for anything. Follow the links, do more research for yourself. J.P. Morgan is short on silver. If everybody buys silver, it could hurt them very dearly. So this goes back to our post in November, killing J.P. Morgan with silver bullets. And I believe even our man Clyde Lewis of GroundZeroMedia.org is connected up with Portland gold buyers. I believe you can get silver that way. I believe I'm going to try and go through APMEX, American Precious Metals Exchange. And even if this doesn't destroy the banks, it's a great way to get started on getting some precious metals, getting something in your hand, physical, tangible. Our other related econocrash note is its own post, and it comes from CNBC, but we think Cryptogon.com. The Fed has a $110 billion problem with the new Benjamins, a billion new $100 bills quarantined in huge vaults in Fort Worth, Texas, and the District of Criminals. Reading from CNBC, a significant production problem with new high-tech $100 bills has caused government printers to shut down production of the new notes and to quarantine more than a billion of the bills in huge vaults in Fort Worth and D.C., initially scheduled for release in February of 2011, the new bills were announced with great fanfare by officials at the Treasury Department and the Federal Reserve in April. At the time, officials announced the new bills would incorporate sophisticated high-tech security features, including a 3D security strip and a color-shifting image of a bell designed to foil counterfeiters. But the production process is so complex, it has instead foiled the government printers tasked with producing billions of the new notes. Officials don't know exactly what caused the problem. There is something drastically wrong here, a person familiar with the situation said. The frustration level is off the charts. The defective bills, which could number into the tens of millions, potentially representing billions of dollars in face value, will have to be burned, they say. American taxpayers have already spent an enormous amount of money to print the bills. Now, all irony in that last sentence aside, let's hop over to Cryptogon.com's posting of this, where he notes, you don't need to be a conspiracy theorist with mainstream news like this. And he notes, he has three guesses of what's really happening here. Maybe it was Hank Paulson and some of the other vampire squids sitting on round, and they thought, these stupid idiots bought the bailout caper. How about we skip all that nonsense and just print ourselves a few vaults full of hundreds? Who's with me? Or maybe they're not finished with the existing super notes yet. And we do a flashback to a story. Mysterious $100 super note counterfeit bills appear across the world. More on that from Klaus Bender, the author of a book called Moneymakers, The Secret World of Banknote Printing. But the third guess, maybe the super note directorate of the CIA isn't up to speed with printing the new toilet paper, and they need an initial supply of the new stuff before they can implement the illegal parallel print of the new design. Funny money indeed. The Fed has a $110 billion problem with the new Benjamins. So there you have your Econo Crash updates. And I fear it's only going to get uglier and uglier. As we know, of course, unemployment checks running out for folks. Hundreds and thousands of people mobbing all to get single, low-paying jobs in cities. If we can quote the old song, there's something happening here. We'll continue with our police state updates and continue with our coverage of the Portland Patsy, or as we euphemistically refer to him as the tree bomber, hashtag tree bomber. Police state updates, Portland Patsy and the DHS PSAs. The first article here is another notch, another good bit on the stack of great news and amazing growth over this last just week for MediaMonarchy.com. An article on PrisonPlanet.com, and it was posted around, I believe it's on ActivistPost.com and some other sites, written by Tony Cartolucci, Portland Patsy serves as impetus for rejoining terrorism task force. What should you do when your government's FBI contacts, trains, and unleashes a terrorist to try and blow up your city's Christmas tree and thousands of bystanders using an FBI-made bomb? Hand over your city's security to the FBI, of course. Now, this story concerns, in 2005, Portland was the only city and the first city in America to withdraw from the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force. And then, of course, that was under the Bushes, the Dems, and here in liberal Portland, distrusted the Bush cronies. But now that there's a guy with a D after his name, and now that they've had a catalyzing paranoia scare with an FBI patsy and an FBI-made bomb and a ready-made prime-time event on Blackjack Friday to scare the hell out of everybody, just as they were getting sick of the TSA story, they need to be rattled and reminded of why we're in the war of terror. So when this happened immediately, of course, the one guy, Saltzman, one of our commissioners, who was against us pulling out of the task force, in the wake of the tree bomber, of course, he was the first to say, we should join the task force again. But the latest I have is that they're not going to really try and go for it just yet. And again, that's more phone calls to be made. However, the awesome part of this article for me jumps to the bottom. The final paragraph of this article on PrisonPlanet.com, Portland Patsy serves as impetus for rejoining terrorism task force. Where this goes from here is ultimately up to the people of Portland. They can demand that decisions regarding their city never be based on what Media Monarchy calls paranoia manufactured by the FBI. They can demand that their own police be given the resources they need to serve and protect their community within the fines of the Constitution and according to their own local values. They should support Mayor Adams on his original stance as he was right the first time and still occupies the moral high ground. There is real terrorism indeed, and it's trying to force people like Mayor Adams to compromise on his convictions and concede that moral high ground. Huge thanks to Tony Cartolucci in that article for quoting and citing MediaMonarchy.com. That gave us huge hits and huge coverage. So while the Portland tree bomber story went viral, the work I've done with James Corbett on the WikiLeaks PSYOP, that's gone viral. And again, it's all thanks to you guys for spreading the word and sharing this and posting links and sharing it any way you can. Again, it's all free. It's all open source. It's all fair use. It's all public domain. Just share it. A couple of other related Portland Patsy updates from the Associated Press. Teen arrested in Oregon car bomb plot led to lives, which reminds us of some old exploitation pulp film. No, that reminds us of Lee Harvey Oswald's favorite TV show, I Led Three Lives, of course, involving FBI informants and double, triple agents. The Seattle Times asking the important question, was the FBI grooming Portland suspect for terror? And it gets more ridiculous. The headline from the Washington Post, tension grows between California Muslims and the FBI after informant infiltrates mosque. Or, more to the point, FBI plants informant in mosque to incite violence, Muslims report him to the FBI. He was so obvious. All he wanted to do was talk about violence. That, of course, your average God-fearing Muslim said, who the hell is this guy? He's obviously a plant. He's obviously an informant. He's obviously an agent provocateur. These are the things used to blame mass amounts of people in false flag activities. Whether it's problem, reaction, solution, the Hegelian dialectic, any of these terms and these phrases and these paradigms, they're just being used over and over again in slightly different guises. But again, they all play out in this amazing made-for-TV way. Following up on that story, AllGov.com notes the FBI paid an ex-con $177,000 to entrap Muslims. We create the terror, and by we, I mean the hijacked government. We're not a democracy. We're supposed to be a constitutional republic, but we have been hijacked by finance oligarchs and elite bloodlines and multi-generational serial killers. And these are the games they play against all of us. And again, shadows on the wall. Fake terror, shadows on the wall. Julian Assange, shadows on the wall. Another bomb plotter arrested, however, this time in Baltimore. Baltimore man was arrested on Wednesday on charges he plotted to detonate a vehicle bomb at a U.S. Armed Forces recruitment center in Maryland, a plot that was a sting operation. There was no actual danger to the public as the explosives were inert and the suspect had been carefully monitored by law enforcement for months, said Justice Department spokesman Dean Boyd. He declined to identify the individual arrested. Law enforcement officials said the individual arrested was a 21-year-old male who's an American citizen and converted to be a Muslim. The case is the latest in a series of sting operations by law enforcement agencies involving terrorism plots, including one case in which an Oregon man was arrested last month on charges he tried to detonate a car bomb near a Christmas tree lighting ceremony in Portland. Obama crony conflict of interest Eric Holder has defended such sting operations, saying they're integral to finding people who are on a path to attack the U.S. and Americans. Some defense lawyers have questioned whether it's entrapment. And as if that's not ridiculous enough, we've reported on all the crazy things about Al-Qaeda using dog bombs and planting bombs in Christmas toys and that's a war on Christmas if there ever was one. Danger Room reporting on Al-Qaeda's latest weapon, poison perfume. However, as we noted earlier in the WikiLeaks PSYOP coverage and others on cyberspacewar.com, the way some of our right-leaning talking heads on the controlled corporate media paradigm of Fox or MSNBC, and there's not a damn bit of difference. We now have folks on the right awakening to the things that are going on that, of course, they tacitly went along with during the Bush administration and now want to act like, oh my God, everything's gone crazy since Obama's come in. They might use false flag activities. As Michael Savage started to talk a hell of a lot about, and where'd he go? Geraldo says recent domestic terror plots are fake.
John, this is just another in a long string of domestic terror cases involving a 21-year-old U.S. citizen, a recent convert to Islam, his name Antonio Martinez, but he also went by the name Mohammed Hussein. He's facing two counts of terrorism for allegedly plotting to blow up a military recruiting center in Catonsville, Maryland, outside Baltimore. But because of a tip from an informant, the FBI was on to him. They provided him with a fake bomb. When he went to detonate it this morning, it did not go off, and he was arrested. Although on his Facebook page, he expressed admiration for Anwar al-Awlaki, the U.S.-born cleric who is now a key figure in al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, U.S. authorities say they believe he was acting alone. They do not expect any additional arrests.
All right, real quick, we only have 90 seconds. Another Muslim guy arrested in Maryland by the FBI in a sting operation. Apparently, this guy wanted to blow up a military recruiting center.
Bogus. Absolutely.
All right, just
bogus.
Tell us what happened.
Antonio Martinez, a 21-year-old, converts to Muslim. He's writing on his Facebook page, I hate people who hate Islam. I hate people who don't believe in the Prophet. I'm really, really pissed off at what's going on in Iraq and Afghanistan. So what happens? Some informers tip off the FBI that
right.
This guy is writing this crap in his Facebook. They send in, undercover people posing as radicals,
right.
And they seduce this kid.
And you were there. You heard the seduction.
Same way they seduced the
you
people
know
from Newburgh, New York. Same way they seduced the people. Wait a minute.
How
Sears
can you say that? You weren't
conspiracy.
There. You don't know.
They seduced him in the same way they did that young man in Oregon.
You're ignoring.
But the problem is, Bill,
you don't know. These
FBI agents with not much to do use their ample resources.
I'm surprised
that
you.
No, this
you
is
don't
these entrapment
know.
Cases are fake.
Let it go
not
in.
Real crimes. This person took no overt act to commit a crime until he met the FBI informant who set him up. This is a gullible youngster. If we use
depends
our resources,
on the
our valuable
path.
Resources
right.
to get these
we
people.
Got your point. Let me rebut and I got to
okay.
go. It depends on the pathway to the proposed violence. And that is what a jury should hear. So I'm for these things. Rivera's against
the guy puts it on Facebook.
You and Napolitano ought to go camping together. There you go.
All right, my friends. There you have Geraldo saying all these terror plots are fake, and he's right. But why is he now suddenly right? That's the question going on in the media shell game. But before we continue, my friends, I'll tell you once again, you're listening to the 198th episode of Media Monarchy. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show at MediaMonarchy.com, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups, coming to you live, as always, from the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org. And again, a huge thanks to our affiliates, ZeroPointRadio.com, RevereRadio.net, FROlympia.org, BerkeleyLiberationRadio.net, OneSkyRadio.com, and on and on. Huge thanks to the affiliates. That's how we keep going and growing. Continuing our police state updates, Portland Patsy and the DHS PSAs. Camden, New Jersey's massive police layoffs cause concern for public safety in the United States' second most dangerous city. Interestingly enough, this story from NewJerseyNewsroom.com doesn't want to load anymore, so I added up the Google cache for you to read this article. As we see, it's almost as though it's happening on purpose, the rug being pulled out on a number of levels. What did we report a couple of months ago? The decriminalization of everything here in Portland, from drugs to breaking and entering, hit and runs. They're getting us used to the idea, of course, that the cops aren't going to be there when the crap hits the fan. There's no way, even if they were hired, if things get really, really bad, they're going to go AWOL and take care of their own anyway. That's why we need to know our neighbors. Myself included, you included. But I digress. House passes amnesty citizenship plan for illegal youth in the so-called DREAM Act. However, the Senate Democrats might not have the votes. More on that from the Los Angeles Times. Politico.com reporting on White House speechwriters' stand-up routine about TSA and defrocked priests. Well, he wins a prize in the District of Criminals as the District of Criminals' funniest celebrity. I'd never heard of the guy, and I'm not even going to click the link to find out who it is. But again, it's all very funny. TSA molestations, all very funny. Video flashback for you. CNN reporter was put on watch list after criticizing the TSA. That goes back to 2008. So, as we've said time and time again, and other folks as well, this TSA story didn't start last month. It's been growing and building. But you don't hear about it on the controlled corporate media until they want to get you concerned about it. Until they need the reaction out of you. Remember, the real action's in the reaction. TSA subjects the Indian ambassador to the U.S. to a glass cage and enhanced groping. Yes, the female Indian ambassador to the United States got the supreme TSA treatment, and I believe contact later from the Indian government said it is unacceptable. But on a positive note, one brief ray of light here from WFTV.com. Orlando International Airport considers dumping the TSA screeners as they are completely congressionally mandated and allowed to do. However, again, problem, reaction, solution. Are we just going to get Blackwater? Fingerprint scans raise worries in North Carolina. That's from NewsObserver.com. In a bizarre one from a website called PSN.com, the guy's name is Bob Boyce, B-O-Y-C-E, and the article is called Man's Unrequested Verichip and Associated Tumor Removed. This ties into forced microchip implanting. And there are bizarre photos that appear to show a gross-looking tumor and the size of a grain of rice verichip, the microchip, the mark of the beast, the RFID chip, whatever you want to call it, the track and trace beast system, whether you believe the Bible or not. So that is a bizarre and interesting one that, as we see so many times, there's a disturbing eugenical occult overlay to so many of these stories that we don't have the time and perhaps the wherewithal to go into them in greater detail here on the live show. But perhaps, hopefully, in other avenues with new interviews and all the things in the works. A perfect way to close these police state updates. You know, what's a police state without the super center, the processing store, the company store, the only business left in many towns? Well, you've got to have the telescreens with Big Sister at Walmart.
Hi, I'm Janet Napolitano, Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. Homeland Security begins with hometown security. That's why I'm pleased that Walmart is helping to make our communities more safe and secure. If you see something suspicious in the parking lot or in the store, say something immediately. Report suspicious activity to your local police or sheriff. If you need help, ask a Walmart manager for assistance. Thank you for doing your part to help keep our hometowns safe.
And now stay tuned for your 2 minutes hate. Things are reaching such a bizarre level. Telescreens at Walmart with Homeland Security heads telling you to rat people out for any number of infractions. And we've had commercials making fun of that. The Green Police and others. Oh, but it's all just funny advertising, as we'll see again here in just a little bit. This is how far it falls. And you must know, of course, that organizations like Walmart are tied into this critical infrastructure. And you know that in towns when, again, the crap hits the fan, they'll be used as the processing center. They'll be check in to your local Walmart for further instructions from Homeland Security on how to deal with this fill in the blank. What that blank is going to be, I don't know. Is it going to be a Katrina? Is it going to be a punch in the cyber face? ATMs don't work. If this WikiLeaks hack attack continues to grow the way it looks like it's gonna, it's an attack on the web. It's a catastrophic catalyzing event that they're going to use to crack down on the web. Let's now get into the news purge. The 12-9 news purge. Do you think you've made the right decision this time? And we'll get to where that quote's from in just a little bit. Longtime listeners and readers to the site and show will probably know that throughout the years, the way I do the site and the way I do the show has slowly kind of morphed and changed. A lot of times it's just on what I'm able to do myself as the one-man band behind Media Monarchy, as we've been sending huge thanks to Alan in Omaha for taking up posting duties on cyberspacewar.com. We'll again ask, if you've got a little web savvy and have a specialty area, whether that's war or the environment or food, and you'd like to get involved in the monarchy, of course, send me an email, mediamonarchy@gmail.com. But the news purge is a big list of headlines that I didn't have the time or the space to go into greater detail, but of course these are also important. Just because they're listed in a list of headlines doesn't necessarily mean they shouldn't have been the top of the show. That's the thing with going on right now, like the Chinese proverb, may you live in interesting times. Our times are very interesting. Do you think you've made the right decision this time? We'll start this news purge with 9/11 updates. Of course, that catastrophic catalyzing event that kickstarted an entire new generation of online researchers and web hosts and activists informing so many other layers of society. 9/11 truth has helped start Federal Reserve truth, vaccine truth, all those other levels. And again, 9/11 truth is anti-war. You want to end the wars? You want to help the environment by ending the wars, which are of the most massive environmental degradation going on? The war machine that runs on the terror juice. 9/11 truth ends wars. So let's start our 9/11 updates with yet another actor, celebrity, dipping their toes into the fishy, smelly waters of the official story of 9/11 truth. Dukes of Hazzard and Smallville star John Schneider talks 9/11.
9/11 is very interesting. Very interesting. I have no answers. I have questions. I know when I build something and I knock it over, it falls over. It doesn't fall down. So why did it fall? Why did they fall down? Why did they fall down? And did they take out any buildings around them? I don't think so. Have you been to Vegas?
Yes, I have.
Okay. There's a hotel there called New York, New York, right? And what is New York, New York?
It's a replica of New York City.
Exactly. It's the skyline of New York City. So my first thought was, wow, it's going to be interesting because what are they going to do with the Twin Towers and the skyline of New York City? Because every time you see the skyline of New York City, up until then, it was always on the Twin Towers side, right? Why did they build New York, New York before 9/11 without the Twin Towers in it? They didn't take them down. They were never there. Why? Find somebody to answer that question. I want to know.
Interesting angle from John Schneider. I was not familiar with the New York, New York Hotel in Las Vegas that was built without the iconic Twin Towers in the skyline pre-9/11. Synchronicity, synchromysticism. And I can't remember. That's John Schneider. He's the blonde one. I can't remember if that's Bo or Luke Duke, but that's neither here nor there. Our other 9/11 updates. Pentagon Papers whistleblowers call for new 9/11 investigation. Let's see if that gets as much coverage as their support for Assange. The main players in releasing the Pentagon Papers were Daniel Ellsberg and Senator Mike Gravel. Ellsberg is, of course, the former military analyst and famed whistleblower who smuggled the Pentagon Papers out of the Rand Corporation. Senator Mike Gravel is the person who read the Pentagon Papers into the congressional record. This act made the papers public record so that they could not be censored by the government. Ellsberg and Gravel are receiving a lot of media attention right now for their support of WikiLeaks, but little attention has been paid to Ellsberg and Gravel's support for a new 9/11 investigation. Ellsberg says that the case of a certain 9/11 whistleblower is, quote, far more explosive than the Pentagon Papers, end quote. He also said that the government is ordering the media to cover up her allegations about 9/11. This would, I believe, be Sibel Edmonds. Or is it about Karen Kwiatkowski? GOP senators block 9/11 health bill, and of course this plays into the phony left-right paradigm. Senate Republicans on Thursday blocked a bill that would have provided money for medical aid to ailing World Trade Center workers, dealing a blow to those sickened in service to the country. The Republicans voted against moving the James Zadroga 9/11 Health and Compensation Act to the formal debate until the Bush tax breaks are extended for millionaires and billionaires. The failed vote drew the ire of New York mayor and billionaire Michael Bloomberg. Layer upon layer. Again, we're doing the news purge, and we go alphabetical through the topics. BioWars and EnviroHealth are up next. VaccineNewsDaily.com reporting that Obama has declared National Flu Vaccination Week for December 5th through the 11th. So you guys, that's tomorrow is the 11th. You better hurry and get your squalene live poliovirus thimerosal nerve disease vaccine. Which reminds me, I'll admit to you, I subscribe to Vanity Fair. Always good stuff on the Kennedys in there. And there'll be interesting articles, such as in the latest issue, one about the death industry, and that would be the pharmaceutical industry knowingly shipping tainted drugs worldwide to kill folks we care even less about than the American folks. There's also an article called The Quaid Conspiracy. So we'll probably have to dive into both of those in the future. However, back through our BioWars and EnviroHealth updates, Toronto police arrest 12-year-old boy for refusing a vaccination at school. More on that from wellnessuncovered.com. FoodSafetyNews.com reporting, as we did to you several weeks ago, Haiti's cholera outbreak likely from UN troops. The chemtrail cover-up continues. Rosalind Peterson has given an exclusive big new interview. Both of those are available, again, over on Prison Planet. Spraying the Skies, you can download and check out a 1975 patent for a powder contrail generation, or generator, if you will. We even have the StarTribune.com reporting on chemtrails. One of the blogs there. Paul Douglas on weather. Weather headlines for people in a hurry. He talks about the Clippers. Friday night's Clippers. Is that the sports team? Is that what he's talking about? I don't know. I don't care. The thing that's buried in this news blurbs is chemtrails. Urban legend or valid concern? I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I believe men really did walk on the moon, and by now you probably know where I stand on the issue of climate change. A friend loaned me a DVD and I approached the topic of chemtrails skeptically, but the more I watched, the more hard empirical evidence was produced about an apparent spike in aluminum, barium, and strontium levels on the ground, heavy metals that weren't there 10 to 20 years ago, and I began to wonder if something really might be up. The theory, either government agencies or rogue billionaires, or if there's any damn difference between the two, are experimenting in the stratosphere, spraying the upper levels of the atmosphere with tiny bits of chaff, in an attempt to geoengineer climate change, literally cool the earth by spraying these heavy metals. We've all noticed those days when contrails seem to be far more numerous, when they crisscross the sky, forming a hazy, milky appearance, a dirty sky. I chalked it up to jet contrails, but now I'm taking a second look. So there you have it, Paul Douglas, a weatherman on StarTribune.com, coming around to Chemtrail Truth. Our last BioWars EnviroHealth note, sources originally to the Old Gray Lady, to the New York Times, but Ethan Huff, writing for Natural News, notes New York City to deploy more emergency ambulances to harvest victims' organs. The organ trade is another massive underbelly of the black ops and gangsters and serial killers that seized control generations ago. A couple of drug war notes. Marijuana cuts tumor growth by 50%. That's from PreventDisease.com. And at least, thankfully, a positive note, another positive note. Those are two positive drug war notes. Bill Hicks would be proud. TakePart.com notes, Bach, not bullets. Youth symphony in Ciudad Juarez defies Mexico's drug war. That'll make you feel a little better. And again, we'd like to believe that media and the arts connect us all and could save us all. We now move to our holy hexes, and oh my God. Creationism theme park controversy continues in Kentucky.
Believe it or not, they are arguing about Noah's Ark in the Heartland tonight and whether it's right to use taxpayer dollars to build it, complete with animals. Not in anticipation of rain, but tourists. Lindsay Davis takes us inside this debate.
Hollywood imagined Noah's Ark like this. But if developers in Kentucky can float their newest idea, this will be the site of a real-life replica.
We'll be using about 160 acres to build the Ark Encounter.
They're building it on a, well, biblical scale, using dimensions from Genesis chapter 6, 450 feet long. About 600 train cars can fit inside. The deck, longer than 35 tennis courts, taller than a three-story building. There will be a Tower of Babel and live animals, too.
Why not two of every animal?
Because we're talking about 10,000 pairs of animals.
A $150 million lifeboat expected to create 900 jobs and attract 1.6 million visitors a year, $250 million in state revenue.
The Ark that's planned to be built on this 800-acre site has opened up the floodgates of controversy. Critics say it's a direct violation of separation between church and state.
That's because Kentucky's governor promised the developers almost $40 million in tax breaks to build there.
People of Kentucky didn't elect me governor to debate religion. They elected me governor to create jobs.
But not everyone's on board.
The government shouldn't be using its money to advance religion. That's what's unconstitutional about this.
God actually invented you.
This combination, half theme park, half Sunday school, has been done before.
If you read your Bible, then you're learning what God says to do.
But not with state funding. The Creation Museum is 40 miles away from the Ark. In just a few years, it's had more than a million visitors. As for this old Ark, it has a new mission to help weather an economic storm. Lindsay Davis, ABC News, Grant County, Kentucky.
That's an interesting parallel she brings up to weather an economic storm. So there's a lot to dig through the biblical memes there of the creationism theme park controversy continuing in Kentucky. Oh, but that's not all for the holy hexes, my friend. Billboards say Jesus is returning on May 21st. Christian group is proclaiming Jesus' return in billboards going up in Omaha and other U.S. cities for the holiday season. Allison Warden of WeCanKnow.com says an analysis of Scripture shows Jesus will come on May 21st. She says the billboards showing three wise men following the Star of Bethlehem are meant to spur the public's interest in the Bible, not frighten anyone. Warden says the billboards have gone up in Omaha and Nashville, and they're also going to go up in Atlanta, in Bridgeport, Detroit, Fort Wayne, Kansas City, Little Rock, Louisville, St. Louis, and they'll be up for all of December. We Can Know offers resources to learn about the coming of Jesus on May 21st and the end of days through its website, again, wecanknow.com. Did I give enough links to their site? Because, you know, so many other prognostications, they always turn out right, don't they? So, we'll get your house in order. Oh, we laugh not to cry. Inquiry cites almost 2,000 Dutch Catholic sex abuse reports. That's from Reuters. And our last Holy Hex notes we could have put under any other number of headings, under Obamasiah news or war whores or geopolitics. But here it is from Der Spiegel. German MP says Obama is not God. Yet he unleashes fire and brimstone like he is. This is, of course, about the drone wars that has teenagers playing video games and killing people a world away. Just like Duke Nukem. Or Call of Duty Black Ops, I suppose. Let's move to our media memes. Touchdown Sunday. That's an article from Kenny Sideshow that gets into the recent demolition of a football stadium and some of the other related demolition videos that have come out thanks to the International Center for 9/11 Studies and their successful FOIA massive NIST data dump that's still been ongoing. And I liked how Touchdown Sunday goes along with our other article, and we'll take it from America20XY.com. NFL commercial makes a joke of TSA selective screening and elitism. I wish playing it for you right here would do anything for you. You've got to watch it yourself. The commercial features arrogant NFL jockaramas being waved past TSA security as they flash their Super Bowl rings, while ordinary passengers, that's slaves like you and me, are forced to wait in line. At one point in the commercial, Jimmy Johnson, former coach, sets off a metal detector before a camera focuses on his hips and he displays a sword to the screener in an obvious representation of phallus. The screener, smiling, compliments him and lets him proceed. In the final shot, the viewer sees a man being held by an agent, stripped down to his underwear while being menaced by snarling dogs. The message being pressed upon the viewer on their couch like a fat ass watching Blipverts out of Max Headroom is that there are two classes of people. Those elite, with power, able to bypass TSA screening just like certain members of Congress, and the rest of us without power who are helpless subjects to the new police state being formed all around us. The joke made of this is the message in this ad, spoonful of sugar added to help Americans swallow it and subconsciously accept it with a laugh, as you will see on the mass amounts of comments on that YouTube page. Viacom says YouTube ruling will completely destroy copyright. Oh no, not our precious Viacom. Where will we get Nickelodeon and The Daily Show from? And here's another one of those times where, is it Live? Is it Memorex? Is it real? Is it The Onion? Gizmodo.com reporting, George Lucas plans to resurrect dead movie stars. According to Mel Smith, friend of George Lucas and director of Radioland Murders, the creator of Star Wars is, quote, buying up the film rights to dead actors, end quote. He says that Lucas plans to resurrect them in future movies using 3D technology. George has been buying up the film rights to dead actors in the hopes of using computer trickery to put them all together so you'd have Orson Welles and Barbara Stanwyck alongside today's stars. I believe one of the comments, where is it? Past the Charlie Chaplin and Heath Ledger. Ah, why doesn't Lucas resurrect his directing career? There's the question for you in the People versus George Lucas. So, that is ostensibly real, and this is ostensibly fake, as the excitement grows among Beatles fans for Paul McCartney's funeral.
At this hour, excitement is building for the death of Paul McCartney following today's announcement that London's St. Michael's Cathedral has been officially selected as the site of McCartney's funeral when he dies.
I can't wait to attend all the vigils. It's going to be really somber, but really fun too.
I don't think you even have to be a fan to appreciate how amazing it's going to be when Paul McCartney dies.
I plan on crying so much.
Entertainment reporter Bree Lindsay joins us now with more on this. Hi, Bree.
Hi, Damon.
Bree, this cathedral looks amazing. I can already picture the organ playing the song Yesterday as they slowly wheel Sir Paul's coffin up the aisle.
It's perfect.
There's a really nice wrought iron gate in front where people can place cardboard memorials and flowers.
And that's within walking distance of Abbey Road and Apple Studios.
Yes, so Beatles fans can get together and generally just dance around and be both happy and sad.
Wow, that's fantastic. We understand there's also going to be a public memorial service where celebrities can make big weepy displays of how close they were.
Yes, exactly. Ringo Starr and Robbie Williams are going to sing a special rendition of Two of Us.
That's wonderful.
That people will pretend is touching, but then later remark how odd a choice Robbie Williams was.
That should be terrific, Brie. I understand, too, that a number of celebrities are already tweeting their reactions to McCartney's eventual death, like this one from Nick Cannon, who writes, I was honored to meet McCartney. When he dies, we will truly have lost a living legend.
Yes, but it's the fans that are really looking forward to celebrating McCartney's life when he dies. When he was hospitalized last month for what turned out to be the flu, fans flooded his website with messages wishing him a quick and speedy death.
Great. Now, what about the death itself?
Well, obviously, everyone wants an open casket at the funeral.
So no car wrecks or anything that causes his hair to fall out.
Exactly.
His face to shrivel up.
Best case scenario, he'll get some sort of wasting sickness that takes him from healthy to dead in about a month.
That'd make
or
sense.
Maybe someone will shoot him in the chest or stomach.
Oh, Brie, that would be fantastic.
Well, it would.
However he dies, let's hope it happens real, real soon.
I hope so.
Thanks, Brie.
Thanks, Damon.
Paul McCartney himself released a statement today saying, quote, I am very excited about my upcoming death. The mourning period should really be fantastic. I wish I could be there. Moving on, a new line of prosthetic limbs will allow amputees to more realistically weep into their hands.
Oh, my God. Just in time, of course, for the 30th anniversary of the assassination of John Lennon, The Onion does it right. Our couple of other related media memes all have videos to go along with them. MIA creates controversy pulling skeletons out of the CIA closet. That's a new article about the video of hers, Born Free, that we went over several months ago that viscerally depicts a police state. And I suppose I'll use this opportunity again just to mention the strange sort of dream premonition I had that MIA would be bumped off. Spike Jonze and the Arcade Fire shot a video in Austin, Texas, and it has some asking, has martial law come to the suburbs? The video for the song title track from Arcade Fire's latest record, The Suburbs, seems to show a country already in a police state, already under martial law. Again, we note our artists generally are trying to tell us, sometimes even in advance, maybe perhaps not so much in this case, of what is coming. Our final media meme note just, again, makes me realize how completely lame our own United States Congress is. In the House of Parliament, UK Prime Minister David Cameron was asked about liking the Smiths.
Kerry McCarthy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As someone who claims to be an avid fan of the Smiths, the Prime Minister will no doubt be rather upset this week to hear that both Morrissey and Johnny Marr have banned him from liking them.
Oh.
The Smiths are, of course, the archetypal student band. If he wins tomorrow night's vote, what songs does he think students will be listening to? Miserable Lie, I Don't Owe You Anything, or Heaven Knows I'm Miserable Now.
I expect that if I turned up, I probably wouldn't get this charming man. And if I went with the Foreign Secretary, it'd probably be William, it was really nothing.
Stuart Jackson. Does my right honourable friend agree with me that it's a badge of shame for which the party opposite...
Well, Joseph, there's simply too much noise.
Oh. We'll never miss an opportunity to cover any kind of news concerning Morrissey and the Smiths. But again, just so funny on so many levels to have Parliament naming Smith songs and discussing the Smiths. Can you imagine Congress discussing any kind of comparable band here in the States? No, you can't. And again, I'm not going to miss the opportunity to play probably the fastest, heaviest, and shortest and one of my favorite songs from the Smiths, London.
Oh. driving. Then did you see the jealousy in the eye of the ones who had to stay behind? And do you think you made the right decision this time? Left your girlfriend on the platform with this really ragged notion that you'll reach her. But she knows that when he goes, I go to work. And do you think you made the right decision this
The Smiths with the track London from their only official live album called Rank. And we'll continue the news purge, my friends, here on the 198th episode of MediaMonarchy.com. And we have now made it to the murder and mayhem with a little bit of an update on the story we gave you last week, continuing the story of what, as we noted, Vanity Fair is calling the Quaid conspiracy or the Star Whackers meme, police link ex-con to death of Hollywood publicist Ronnie Chasen. This story is from Reuters, but you may recall we reported to you last week that as the police were closing in on someone they said was a suspect, he killed himself. Now they say the gun he used to kill himself was the gun used to kill Hollywood publicist Ronnie Chasen. Disney Town sees death for the second time in a week. And we get this from the Associated Press, Dateline, Celebration, Florida. Authorities were investigating whether another death Friday in the town Disney built just days after reporting its first homicide in its 14-year existence. This time, it was a man who apparently killed himself after shooting at deputies. Craig Fushi, 52, barricaded himself in home last Thursday for more than 14 hours, according to an Osceola County Sheriff's Office report. He shot at deputies several times, but deputies never returned fire because they were unable to acquire a target and no deputies were injured. Deputies entered the home early Friday and found him dead of an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. Sheriff's spokeswoman Twiz Liza Swan said there had been no connection between Fushi and Mateo Patrick Giovandito, who was found slain in the condominium on Tuesday. That homicide was the first for Disney's master-planned, picture-perfect Central Florida community with 11,000 residents. Giovandito lived alone with his chihuahua and had been slain over the long Thanksgiving weekend, authorities said. Neighbors hadn't seen him for days, so they filed a missing persons report, then went into his condo a day later and found him. Death in Disney. Attorneys seek to squash, or quash, as they say, suspect interview in the William Bennett case. We get this from LeesburgToday.com, and longtime listeners may recall last year in great detail we went over the case of the seeming assassination of ex-CIA agent William Bennett while he was jogging in Loudoun County, Virginia. We, of course, noted he was killed on May 22nd, 322, the skull and bones number. He was involved in the faulty targeting that blew up the Chinese embassy in Belgrade. Just a bizarre, bizarre story, and we always try and add any links, as I'll tell you, as I think I've said before, but again, always trying to give out the little tips that, again, there's no magic secret to doing this show. Google words and phrases that interest you, and then subscribe to the feed of that search. Then you'll get the updates whenever that word or that phrase pops up in the news. That's how I get all these little tiny articles concerning the murder of William Bennett. Murder-suicide.blogspot.com reporting lady shooter pulls the trigger in Miami. We note in the murder and mayhem, mass murder contagion, that we report on quite extensively here. It's far more rare that women are involved in this. And the last note of murder and mayhem is one that I saw in the newspaper while I was at work on lunch break, but I wasn't able to copy it down or remember it. But again, thankfully, somebody sent it to MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. Mystery deepens around teen's body found in Milton, Massachusetts. Just how the shattered body of a North Carolina teenager ended up on a quiet Milton street is looking more like a mystery investigators from CSI might tackle. Authorities are weighing the possibility that Delvonte Tisdale of Charlotte stowed away in the wheel well of an airplane bound for Logan International Airport and that his body fell out when the landing gear was lowered over Milton. A U.S. Airways flight from Charlotte to Boston landed at Logan shortly after passing. Motorists discovered the teen's mutilated body on Briarbrook Street. Let's not get into any more of the gory details, literally, if I may abuse that overly abused word. With all the hubbub surrounding the TSA and all these other things going on, kid can sneak into the wheel well of a plane. We have a couple notes of Oregon oddities. As we get a lot of our news of the weird from click2houston.com, Oregon man changes his name from Smith to Awesome. I believe that would be Captain Awesome. And there we have another meme of the Smiths. The other Oregon oddity, Oregon Super Darn Radar, is now operational for studying the upper atmosphere, the ionosphere, and connections into space. I can't fully wrap my mind around that, but Virginia Tech has something to do with it. So we reach the war horse at the end of this 12-9 news purge. Do you think you've made the right decision this time? Russia crashes Keen Sword, the largest ever U.S. and Japan war games. Russia crashed it with their own submarine hunting planes. As the grand chessboard and geopolitical scene gets more murky, as we also somehow see more of a revelation of the method, the very moment it becomes more obtuse and difficult is the same time that it's all becoming really apparent. And we close it out with allgov.com. Americans killed in Afghanistan this past November equals the last 7 years of Novembers. So 7 previous years of Novembers, from November 2001, November 2002, all the way up to 2009, November 2010 beats them all. And these are the wars that still rage. These are the things many of us were sold a bill of goods on, getting out of the wars. But we see, just because an R changes to a D, we didn't see the head of the military change. But I digress. That closes out the 12-9 news purge with the title, Do You Think You've Made the Right Decision This Time, taken from the song London that we played for you. In our remaining time here, we're going to hit 2 interesting and bizarre and even, yes, slightly amusing stories. As we joked in the intro, I suppose we'll start it off and say, you know, something for the boys. I used to love to camp out and hike in the woods. Back in the middle school and high school days, I think when a lot of the other kids were getting into drinking and drugs and doing all that stuff, I didn't want to have anything to do with that. And me and my friends, who also didn't want to have anything to do with that, and we were all kind of outcasts from our own respective circles we should have been in. One from the honor student, one from the sports team, you know. We used to camp out a lot. But let's go to Montana, my friends. Unabomber's Land for Sale, offering a very secluded piece of history. Huge price reduction on Unabomber's property. These prices are insane. From CBS News, The one-of-a-kind Western Montana property that was once owned by Unabomber Ted Kaczynski is back on the market for a bargain price of $69,000. The 1.4-acre parcel of land is listed by John Pistolak Realty of Lincoln and offers potential buyers a chance to own a piece of infamous U.S. history. The listing also states that the forested land is obviously very secluded. The Lincoln area property, which has been listed, had been listed at $154,000, does not have electricity or running water, because Kaczynski was critical of technology. The property also does not include the cabin where Kaczynski was captured in April 1996 in his Unabomber-style shack. That's on display at the museum in Washington, D.C. Hey, I've been there. Kaczynski's in a maximum security prison in Colorado, serving a life sentence after pleading guilty in 1998 to a nationwide bombing spree that spanned nearly 17 years, killed three people, and injured 23. The Harvard-trained mathematician railed against the effects of advanced technology and led authorities on the nation's longest and costliest manhunt before his brother tipped off law enforcement in 1996. Unabomber's land for sale, offering very secluded piece of history.
A Montana real estate agent is offering potential buyers a chance to own an infamous piece of U.S. history. 1.4 acres of land, once owned by the Unabomber Ted Kaczynski, is on the market for just under $70,000. In this online listing, the property is described as one of a kind and obviously very secluded. There is no running water or electricity. Photos posted on northwestnational.com show tall trees, chain-link fences topped by barbed wire, and a tree with FBI carved into it, though it's not clear why. The property does not include the cabin where Kaczynski was captured in 1996. It is on display at the museum in Washington, D.C. The listing agent for the Montana land said he could not immediately comment on the sale. Kaczynski is serving a life sentence for killing three people and injuring nearly two dozen during a nationwide bombing spree between 1978 and 1995. Sandy Kozel, The Associated Press.
So there's basically a reiteration of what I just told you. And interestingly enough, you can go look at the realty entry and see the price and see the land. Let's break this down again for folks. Again, we have a hard enough time remembering last week, let alone last decade. Dr. Theodore John Ted Kaczynski, also known as the Unabomber, which, for folks, stands for the University and Airline Bomber. That's what the newspaper started to call him. American mathematician, social critic, and anarchist who engaged in a mail bombing spree that spanned nearly 20 years, killing three and injuring 23. Born in Chicago, an intellectual child prodigy, he excelled academically from an early age. Kaczynski was accepted into Harvard at the age of 16, where he earned an undergrad degree and later a Ph.D. in math at the University of Michigan. He later became an assistant professor at the University of California in Berkeley at the age of 25, but resigned 2 years later. In 1971, he moved to a remote cabin without electricity or running water in Lincoln, Montana, where he lived as a recluse while learning survival skills in an attempt to become self-sufficient. He decided to start a bombing campaign after watching the wilderness around his home being destroyed by development. From 1978 to 1995, Kaczynski sent 16 bombs to targets including universities and airlines. Kaczynski sent a letter to the New York Times on April 24, 1995, and promised to desist from terrorism if the Times or the Post published his manifesto. Industrial Society and Its Future, a.k.a. the Unabomber Manifesto, he argues that his bombings were extreme but necessary to attract attention to the erosion of human freedom necessitated by modern technologies requiring large-scale organization. The Unabomber was the target of one of the FBI's most costly investigations. Before Kaczynski's identity was known, the FBI used the handle Unabomb, University and Airline Bomber, to refer to his case, which resulted in the media calling him the Unabomber. Despite the FBI's efforts, he was not caught as a result of the investigation, of their investigation. Instead, his brother recognized Kaczynski's style of writing and beliefs from the manifesto and tipped off the feds. Kaczynski's lawyers were court-appointed, but he eventually dismissed them because they wanted to plead insanity in order to avoid the death penalty, and Kaczynski didn't believe he was insane. Once it was sure that he would be defending himself on national television, the court entered a plea agreement under which he pleaded guilty and was sentenced to life in prison with no possibility of parole. Theodore Kaczynski has been designated a domestic terrorist by the FBI. Some anarchist authors, such as John Zerzan and John Moore, have come to his defense while, of course, holding some reservations about his actions and ideas. That's just the quick little wiki bio for you. I'm always fascinated in high-profile cases when the accused is going to defend themselves. Now, whether that's Zacharias Moussaoui or Ted Bundy or any of these kind of cases, this really sticks out to me. Once it was sure that he would be defending himself on national television, the court essentially stopped it. You can't have a guy going on national television talking about how this is all a joke and a lie, because in some ways he was right. Am I aligning myself with him? Absolutely not. You know that. That's just a little bit of the bizarre case of the Unabomber. Something that we want to tie in and mention is a strange film you may or may not have heard of. It's called The Net, The Unabomber, LSD, and the Internet. You can watch it in its entirety on YouTube. It's broken up into multiple parts. You can even buy the DVD on Amazon, and I give you both of those links. Do you see some of the recurring themes and memes throughout these things? The Unabomber, LSD, and the Internet. Couldn't we just swap out Assange, LSD, and the Internet with all the associated double dealings and CIA-linked assets? As we already discussed earlier in this episode, getting into the WikiLeaks PSYOP. A couple, or rather one, for that matter, related history mystery update. Bruce Ivan's lawyers, or rather lawyer and colleague, share details the FBI left out. This is from the Frederick News Post out of Frederick, Maryland, home of Fort Detrick, home of the accused and now late lone anthrax gunman Patsy. 9 years have passed since five people were killed and 17 sickened by anthrax spores mailed to lawmakers and news outlets. And it's been 9 months since the FBI closed its investigation into those attacks. But new information about the anthrax, the investigation, and the suspect still continue to emerge. On November 29th, the University of California's Institute on Global Conflict and Cooperation hosted a seminar on the so-called Amerithrax investigation. Experts have spent years doubting that Fort Detrick scientist Bruce Ivins committed the crime, as the FBI alleges, but they have never gathered to share their knowledge and theories until Monday's meeting at the university's Washington Center. This gets into drying anthrax, Snow White or Pepper-like, anthrax samples lost, on and on and on. Oh, and that, you know, reminds me, as we referenced a little bit ago, the latest entrapment Patsy bust in Baltimore, this time with the 21-year-old who was funded and trained and prodded and poked by the FBI, just as our own tree bomber was here on Blackjack Friday. Funded and trained and prodded at every step of the way. Well-timed to scare the masses. Sick of the TSA story, ready to run back to daddy for help. Of course, again, in the case of the new Baltimore bomber, just like in the case of the Portland tree bomber, the critical moment of recordings, and of course, they record everything, but the critical moment that the case rests on, that they blather on about endlessly in the FBI affidavits, technical difficulties prevented recording of that conversation, the one where they confirmed, the one where the FBI says, "Are you sure you don't want to just, you know, study and pray and serve Islam that way?" Those conversations are gone. Call it the 18-minute gap, if you want. So there, we referenced the Baltimore bomber and the Portland tree bomber with the Bruce Ivins Amerithrax Patsy with the Unabomber's land for sale. We'll joke and call the Unabomber land story something for the boys. And we'll close the show with something for the girls. Barbie Video Girl in FBI crosshairs. Barbie video camera streams and downloads to computer. We have this cross-posted on Media Monarchy and CyberspaceWar.com. but we'll take it from a threat level. A Barbie doll, tricked out with a video camera concealed in her necklace, could be used by predators to create child pornography, warns the FBI in a recent cybercrime alert. In the alert, mistakenly released to the press, the FBI expressed concern that the toy's camera, which can capture 30 minutes of video and rivals a Canon 7D in quality, with a video comparison for you on Vimeo, could be used to lure children and surreptitiously film child pornography. Barbie and other dolls have been used in the past by sexual predators to attract victims. According to ABC News, which obtained a copy of that memo, the FBI appears to have opened an investigation into the doll. Mattel, the maker of Barbie Video Girl, noted in a statement that the FBI didn't say it knew of any cases where the Barbie camera had been used for such nefarious purposes, but a sheriff spokesman told ABC News that the FBI alert will be helpful for drawing attention to investigators collecting evidence at a crime scene. When we're doing such a search warrant looking for media that a child pornographer may have used, we're going to have to put Barbie on the list just like any other cameras and computers, said Sergeant John Urquhart from the King County Sheriff's Department in my neighbor to the north, Washington State. So we do have other links to the Daily Mail and the aforementioned ABC News and others. So, you know what I want for Christmas. The related update posted to the bottom of this story, Barbie Video Girl and FBI crosshairs. Again, this is how things work out. This is the synchro mysticism, if you will. The latest episode from Red Ice Radio on redicecreations.com is an interview with M.G. Lord, the author of the book Forever Barbie, an unauthorized biography of a real doll. Does this sound strange? Does this sound like silliness? Well, let's tie in Ruth Handler, Edward Bernays, Mattel, the century of the self, scientific studies done on television, and the hive mind, the persuaders, the merchants of cool, subliminal advertising, modern-day brainwashing. All of those things tie in to the history of the Barbie doll. And that's an amazing bit of timing for Henrik and Red Ice Radio. And I think that does it, my friends. That's all the latest and greatest media from MediaMonarchy.com. Let's first glance, as we've been trying to remind you, one, thanks to Alan in Omaha for posting so many stories to cyberspacewar.com. Thanks to my Wi-Fi pod, I've been doing a lot more twittering and tweeting. Twitter.com/MediaMonarchy. We can look at some of those things, and some of those are things that never make it to the website. Sarah Palin says Julian Assange should be hunted down like Osama bin Laden, so he should be safe for at least a decade. That was, of course, before his capture. We report, again, as we told you earlier in the show, Fed's checking 1.1 billion new $100 bills as production problems delay their release. UPS requires photo ID for shipping. UPS stepping up security measures during the holiday season. All-out cyber war erupting over WikiLeaks. Explosion rocked a plant in West Virginia's northern panhandle with at least two dead. Car containing Prince Charles and Camilla attacked in London by angry protesters. Ron Paul, author of In the Fed, to lead the Federal Reserve Oversight Panel. We've got tweets retweeted from NORAD and also Silver is the New, where they note December 10th, that's today, the last good day to purchase silver before the J.P. Morgan silver squeeze. Again, using silver bullets to kill J.P. Morgan, they have a massive short position. If we can buy silver, we might be able to hurt them. And at the very least, you can start collecting and storing up precious metals that we may or may not need. It's not going to go bad like food, though. You're always going to need it. You can turn around and use it whenever you want. That's going to do it, my friends. Next week, Tracy Twyman in studio. Christmas Eve, we're taking it off, and we'll have a mixtape to drop for you. Then, New Year's Eve, we'll be back with episode 200. All that and so much more. Amazing surprises in store. Keep your eyes on MediaMonarchy.com, and we'll keep going and growing. My name is James Evan Pilato. I am your host and webmaster of the site and show at MediaMonarchy.com. Coming to you, as always, from the Portland Radio Authority, PRARadio.org. I send huge thanks to all you guys out there. I really appreciate it. And as always, don't hate the media. Become the media. Take care.
MediaMonarchy.com is your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. Featuring weekly radio shows on the Portland Radio Authority, PRARadio.org, the New World Network video series with CorbettReport.com, plus special interview episodes, B-sides, mixtapes, and so much more. Send news tips to MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. You can make a donation or mail Media to the Monarchy at P.O. Box 12165, Portland, Oregon 97212. Thanks to all the internet and community radio stations who broadcast these shows, and most of all, thanks to you. Remember, don't hate the media, become the media.
Whether you went on with the diary, or whether you did not go up with it, made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.